All right, this is episode 162 of the RHO podcast. We are here in a little different setting today. One of the cooler places we've done a podcast
from. Yes, I agree with that.
Also, one of the cooler places we've done one from was the pavilion over here just to our left the last time we were up here. We're at the Lake Shelbyville Archery Park this week up here with Drew Kaczynski from BHA and these guys who have put this event on and really put this park together. It's a super cool setup they got. Awesome course. They've got parking lots now and concrete walkways for people. They got a cool event going on today, just kind of as a grand opening. We're up here. We're going to talk to Drew. We're going to talk to a few other people as well. You can see the empty seat in the middle of us here. We'll have somebody fill in that here in just a few minutes. But I wanted to kind of let you guys know what was going on, what to expect from today's show. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. I know we're going to. We've already had a good time out here this morning. They're having an event all weekend. They got people out here shooting their course, doing some camping. I believe they've got the campsite to themselves pretty much for this weekend. But it's a really cool course. It's cool. There's actually two kids out here shooting right now.
I'm actually looking just past the camera. They're station number 6, which is a deer, and we got shooters on that target right now.
Yep. I don't know how many shooters, because they're out on the course right now, so I don't know how many are here. But it seems like there's several guys out here shooting, enjoying the nice weather. They had some rough weather last night, apparently. They came in. Yesterday was kind of their park cleanup day, which is something that the BHA likes to do. And that's something I'm sure Drew will talk about. He's talked about before. Even if you're not just a hunter or an angler, they do a lot of cleanup days and stuff like that just to kind of help keep parks and public areas accessible and taken care of. But they came out and did that yesterday. And then he said the storm came through and blew all the sticks back out that they had already
picked. Got to do it again this morning, yeah.
So they got to do it again this morning. But it's been a good day for us so far. He said they've had a good weekend. People out here shooting, getting tuned up, kind of heading into the summertime when you should be shooting anyway, which I'm guilty of not shooting yet. I just told you I was going to bring my bow, and I haven't even shot it since January. But it's a good time to get started before it gets really too hot as well, and just kind of make sure. One of the guys here said it's a good thing they have these preseason deals because he forgot to bring his quiver with him
right
for his whole setup. We might get to talk to him a little bit later. Well, that's what you guys can expect on today's show. We're going to talk with him about the BHA, about this event, about the park, how you guys can be involved if you want to be involved, and then basically what this park's going to be, kind of maybe their vision for it in the future, things like that. But before we get into all that, don't forget Rack's Big Game Supplements. If you guys are running minerals or protein blocks or anything like that, you can go to racksmineral.com. You can find your local dealer, or you can order directly from the website and use code FULLDRAW. It's all caps, no space, and you get 15% off your order there if you're running any kind of that stuff. Also, Rodney with Midwest Farm and Land and RG Outdoors. His number is 618-925-325. I done messed it up. 925-3153.
I thought you were going to pull that off.
I'd been doing pretty good lately.
Were going to pull that off. You know, we should have brought our tent and made a weekend out.
We could have.
Nice day. Mm-hmm. It would have been a nice evening.
925-3153. So Rodney Hawkins.
There you go.
618-925-3153. He's a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. So if you guys are in the market for new property, whether that's farm ground, recreational property, residential stuff, or if you're looking to get some of that sold, maybe you're upgrading, maybe you're downgrading, you can give him a call. If you're in the Illinois area, he can get you taken care of on that. Also, he's got RG Outdoors. Same deal. If you're in Southern Illinois, you're looking for Tacticam trail cameras or a good e-bike or stands or blinds, he's got products from Radix Hunting. He can get you hooked up with those as well, and that's RG Outdoors on Facebook, or you can call his phone number or rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. We'll get you in on all that stuff too. He's adding new stuff all the time, so make sure you follow him over there on Facebook. Our Facebook page, Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We're Ridge Hunter Outdoors on Instagram too. Make sure you guys go follow those. We really appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening and you watch on YouTube regularly, hit the subscribe button and then make sure you hit the notification bell too. That way you know when stuff comes out. We're going to try to put some more videos out here soon. I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do with Hunter's Turkey Hunt. I don't know that I'm going to make a regular spring strutting episode out of it, so it might go on the Ridge Hunter channel as just a...
She had a good time.
A one-off, because it ended up being a long week, but she did get a shot, and it just didn't end well for... It ended great for the turkey.
Yeah, well, you'll have that.
But either way, I think it was a good hunt. We got some cool video, so I want to put a video together on that hunt. I just think it'll probably be a standalone. It won't be part of Spring Strutting. So that one will be on the Ridge Hunter channel. If you guys missed the Spring Strutting episodes this spring, or if you're looking for Fall Pursuit this fall, it'll be on its own channel, Fall Pursuit, on YouTube as well. So make sure you go over there and subscribe to that one. But that's all I got for you. We're going to bring someone in here, probably Drew. We'll probably get him in here first and talk to him about everything that's going on, and then we'll see what the day brings from there. As promised, we got Drew back on here. I was doing some looking in between there while we were waiting on you, and this is your fourth time on the show, actually. So you're getting up there for return guest, man.
Semi-regular.
I'm, yeah. At what point did you just get a seat?
Well, funny you say that. There's a guy that I do the Full Draw Fridays with now. He had come on so many times that I made the joke one time. I'm like, man, you've been on the show so many times, you're practically a co-host. Well, now he is a co-host. So if you're not careful, it could happen. No, but I was going back and looking because I was trying to figure out. Your mom, who's around here, she brought Moose by earlier. And she said she listened to us, especially when you were on, as any good mother should, right? Yeah. And I was trying to remember where we actually met. And I couldn't remember. I got to looking, and I didn't say it the first time you were on. But the first time we were on a podcast was here. But I think we met at the Deer Beer Fest, maybe?
Either that or Deer Classic. One of those.
That's what we were thinking. It had to be one of those. That would have been like 2023.
Yeah. Yeah, probably right before we started really kicking this thing off.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what I was thinking. So that would have been either spring of 23 or end of summer of 23.
Yep.
But since then, you've been on three more times, and the park has come a long way for sure. So that's what I want to talk about mostly, because, again, we talked about BHA a lot. I do, at the end, before you get out of here, want to, again, let people know how they can get involved and what that looks like. But also, but for the most part, I want to talk about the park because, obviously, we're here. It's a beautiful day. The park looks great. All the new work that's been done since we were here the last time looks awesome. But just tell us a little bit about the finished product now and kind of
sure
maybe what you see moving forwards for the park and kind of what yeah. you guys are looking for with
well,
it.
Well, you know, it's definitely taken a while to get this rolling, but the park is at a spot where we felt – you know, it can be open. So today when you pull in here, we've got a parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and that will lead you right to a practice range and four covered bag targets out there with sidewalk going up to each of them. And there's a lane out there that is not concrete.
Mm-hmm.
That will be concrete someday.
Someday.
When we find some sponsors and donations to help get that underway. Mm-hmm. And then the next piece of that practice area will be an elevated platform. I think that's in the works on trying to design something there to get folks up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you follow that concrete path into the timber, and you are in loop one. And loop one, we've got five stations in loop one and multiple targets at each station. Today, you got some deer, bear, a bighorn ram. I think there's a turkey, porcupine,
mm-hmm.
mule deer, and a javelina. All that is on five stations. Then you head through out of loop one and kind of out here you go out into open grass area and cross the pond dam. There's two stations out here in the open, and then you head into loop two, and loop two is right now it's full of deer. There's an antelope in there and
yeah
raccoon and a maybe something else, but I can't think now. They all start blending together,
right? You gotta have enough of the little ones like the raccoon and the porcupine,
yeah.
right? That way.
Yeah,
I mean, if you come out of a 3D course with all your arrows, I feel like you haven't really paid.
That's probably not going to happen here.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing is that, you know, there's a practice range, and that's where you go to practice. And then
mm-hmm.
The loop trails, that's where you go to, you're going to learn something there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's okay. Like, that's part of it. You're not going to make every shot.
Right.
And hopefully this course will make you a little better in the field, and you will make those shots.
Mm-hmm. That's, I'll get some video, too, when we walk around after we get done recording everything. I'm going to walk around and get some video, and I'll put that over the top here where you're talking about. That way everybody can kind of see what you're saying. But that's something I think we probably talked about last time that I think is really cool about a 3D course, and even this one especially, because it's a lot of realistic shots, and it's a better practice than just shooting a square target in your backyard, right?
Yeah, and it's the other thing, I'm looking at a coyote out there across the grass, and you get different lighting contrast too.
Mm-hmm.
So on that coyote, a lot of people have commented, it's a straight on flat shot, but there's leaves and sun breaking through, so it's hard to kind of make up things, especially when you're
right.
Looking down a pin, and there's things like that you're not going to encounter if you're just standing in the backyard. So
yeah, and that's realistic, because I mean, we'd all love to put that deer or the elk or whatever it is right out there at 25 yards, standing broadside, perfect shot lane, but that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, before this, I used to shoot my my block target in my yard, and I don't know why I thought every deer would just be 20 yards in front of me.
You mean they're
they
not?
They should be. They're not.
Straight on.
Right.
Right.
But
and then
level.
You talk about going out west, which I know you've done a little bit.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, where we're at, especially if you're a private land guy, you've been watching a buck, and he comes in, he doesn't give you, like maybe you have a shot opportunity you think's like 50-50.
Yeah.
But you're like, not worth it. I'm not going to chance it. I have a good chance of seeing him again. I'll come back in a few days when the front moves through, and I'll have another crack at him, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe you get that shot in your shooting lane that's more like a 75%. If you're out west and you get a 50-50 shot, especially if you're backcountry on your own public ground stuff, you better be able to put that thing where it needs to go on that 50-50 shot, right?
Yeah, and just the terrain. I mean, Illinois, Central Illinois, pretty flat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come out here to Lake Shelbyville, you'll find a hill or two.
And
you'll find some on this course. And it does change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you shoot down one of these ravines and then you go down there and grab your arrow and hike back up.
Yep.
Your next station, you've now entered something new into your shooting, and it's a little bit of breathing and
simulated adrenaline.
yeah we simulate big buck fever out
yes.
here.
There you go.
That's
Lake right.
Shelbyville Archery Park.
And if you miss high on some of those ravines, you might as well not even walk down there.
There is
unless you hear a big thwack, then maybe you can pull it out of a tree.
So station one is a very subtle flat. It's got concrete path.
Mm-hmm.
And then you head to station two, and there's a turkey between two trees.
Uh-huh.
And if you miss the turkey, you ought to just move to station. there's a pretty deep ravine back there. But then that's something else we enter into the shooting aspect, and that's the mental state of focusing on what you're shooting at and not the fact that there's two trees and
right. And
nothingness behind it.
Right, exactly. It's you can't just simulate that in the yard. And it even doing this on a target, no, it's not the same as a live animal, but it's honestly about as close as you can get without shooting at a live animal. So that's huge as far as that part of it goes, just having a place where people can come do that. What I know you've got some ideas for some other things, and like is it Central A&M?
Yep.
This is going to be their home course for their
3D stuff. Yeah, I think they'll be doing a lot of shoots out here and hosting competitions here, and they'll be a well-versed team, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Practicing here as opposed to practicing at a more controlled environment.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Good luck to all the other teams out there, but Central A&M's coming in hot.
They got some home field advantage.
Yeah,
for sure. It's hard to beat that realism and just a little bit more challenging, because then when you do go, like, in their shoes, like you're saying, if you go shoot a course that doesn't quite have the same elevation change in places or like obstacles and all that stuff, it's got to be a lot easier.
Yeah, and we know that happens. S3DA typically shoots their competitions are in Illinois, and it's flat,
mm-hmm.
a little more controlled. I know some of those kids have gone out west and entered into competitions, and it was it didn't break them, but it was outside of their
little eye opening there, huh? Yeah, right.
And the same way if you go hunting out there, it is outside of
right
the norm. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, especially from what we're used to as Flatlanders.
That's right.
What we're used to.
Yep.
Our backcountry and theirs is a little bit different.
Yeah, our backcountry is nice and level.
So that's something that I think we also talked about the last time is kind of what you had envisioned for this course. And to some extent, what we talked about on the last one has kind of come to fruition now with all the stuff that you've done since then, right? But what are some things, too, that you kind of look forward to seeing out here and maybe doing either with your involvement with BHA or just as a community aspect of this course being here and open to the public now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I see this moving in phases, and I don't quite know that I've labeled those phases or what that entails, but, you know, phase one was planning. Phase two is probably getting it rolling, and that's where we're at today. Now, phase one and phase two are pretty easy to do.
Right.
Now, you got to be persistent and want to stick with it.
Yeah.
But the hard part in building something like this is phase three, and that is the longevity of that park.
Yeah.
So I feel like now that it's open, we can move on to that, and that really comes with you know, getting shoots out here, competition shoots out here, sponsors, donations, actual involvement in saying this is our park and we're going to take care of it. And that way, you know, it shouldn't all be on me or BHA or any sole person or Corps of Engineers. It really does belong to the community. Mm-hmm. This is theirs. So, you know, make sure it works.
You know, the old adage, it takes a village.
It does.
You know,
yeah.
And this won't be any different.
We've got a couple of them around Lake Shelbyville. And
yeah.
They are all villages, and they need to take part, and they've got a pretty cool thing here.
Yeah. So. That's something I've heard you talk about with BHA, and we've had some conversations about before, too, is getting people to have some involvement and some ownership of public lands and then stuff like this, because then they do feel like they're a little responsible for it, and it does get taken care of. Because, like you said, you, one person or a couple different people can't take care of it all by themselves and keep it where it needs to be, right? But if you can get all those people involved and make it more of a community, make them feel like they do have a part in it, because if it's public, like everybody owns it, right? If you can get them to kind of understand that and see the benefits of it, then that takes it to another level, I think.
Yeah, and I stress that when we started today, I stood on the stage, which was a 300-quart cooler.
All right.
But I stood up there and made sure everybody understood that I asked everybody who here owns land, and there was maybe 10 folks out there that raised their hand, and I asked who owns an archery park, and nobody raised their hand. And I made sure that they understand that you do own land. Mm-hmm. You own 640 million acres across the nation. And today, you do own an archery park. It is yours. It belongs to the public. We are responsible for it. You know, that you've got to take part in it and give back to it.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good segue, too, in just BHA in general. Like, you guys do a lot of, not exactly this type of stuff, but not even just hunting and angling stuff, but just public lands and taking care of them and getting people kind of involved with that, right?
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's interesting. The Illinois chapter is fairly new in the outdoor conservation organization world. Mm-hmm. You know, Whitetails Unlimited, NWTF, Ducks Unlimited, the great organizations. They've been around forever. Mm-hmm. You start talking about backcountry hunters and anglers in Central Illinois, and folks look at you like you got two heads.
Right.
But not out west somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so when we're thinking about how this chapter and how we're going to be involved, what's that look like? And it's tough to look at another chapter. I can't look at Montana and their projects and say, well, you know, we should do that here.
Right.
It doesn't. correlate. You got to find what is important to the area, to the state, and what's needed. Mm-hmm. And that's really why this is here. There's not an archery facility for over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours. Mm-hmm. So this was a need for the area. It's probably one of the larger archery hunting areas in central Illinois. And there wasn't a place to find a bag.
Right.
So that's really BHA, at least from our chapter standpoint, was find things that are actually going to impact that location or that area for that state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we ended up here. And chapters across, you know, what's important in Missouri or Kentucky or Montana, California, I don't need to name them all, but the other 47.
Right.
You know, what's important to them is you may see a fence pulling project going on in Wyoming, and you may see some pretty expansive river cleanups in Montana.
Right.
Trail cleanups. I've seen trail cleanups out there where there was almost more horses than people.
I don't doubt it a bit.
So it's cool that, and there's nothing, you know, me being in Illinois, I can go there and take part in that project too.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So it's cool to see there's all these different things going on across the country, and it all comes back to somebody that felt that they needed to give back and be involved.
Yeah. And then this is, like you said, this is something that a need for our area, something that could be done in Illinois that's going to benefit the backcountry hunter and angler, right? Even if it's a guy that does, maybe he lives in Illinois, but he goes out west every year, this is the kind of place where he can come in, you know, July, August and get ready for that, right? Yeah. Where before there may not necessarily been in a place for him. And we were talking about it earlier before we got on here. This is also like 2 hours, 2.5 hours from everywhere in Illinois.
Yeah.
Right? So
that is the gem of Lake Shelbyville.
I mean, it's – even if you're downstate, if you're upstate, closer to Chicago or east or west is even closer probably – it's worth a drive. I think it's a course that's worth a drive, and it's not that far of a drive to come shoot, and it gives so many people outside of even just the Lake Shelbyville area an opportunity to do that. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. Anytime you can find something that's going to benefit almost the whole state,
yeah,
you know, potentially, I think that's a good thing that you can be doing. And it doesn't have to be the same thing that they're doing out in Montana or Wyoming or whatever. If you were trying to do that stuff, it'd be a waste of resources.
Yeah,
a lot of time. I mean,
this is the first archery park in the nation that BHA has gotten involved.
Yeah.
In building.
Nice.
That tells me that like we're doing something right. Mm-hmm. We did something that was for the state, for the area.
Yep.
Not necessarily for the likes.
It also sounds to me like that makes you the lead liaison for any other BHA chapter that wants to do an archery park.
Well, getting into that a little bit, the Corps of Engineers, who's an awesome partner, I was joking with a couple of the guys earlier that I can't physically speak to people about the archery park and mention them and not get like kind of choked up about it. And it happened to me last night. It happened to me again this morning. I'm like, I'm a pretty solid guy, but
we're starting to wonder.
But I just, it's crazy to me that you can just send an email or a phone call and that agency, the folks here at Lake Shelbyville, were just like, you know, complete support.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single person in that facility said, you're crazy, you can't do this, archery's not allowed at Possum Creek Recreation Area.
Right.
It was all in from day one. And they, maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, they brought in representatives from Corps of Engineers from across the nation to this park. And it wasn't even done then. And actually, it was at a pretty early stage, but that was shown to agencies and facilities across the nation as kind of the model Mm-hmm. Of this is how, now you don't have to go build an archery park, but this is how an agency and an organization can be a partner for like the greater good of the public.
Right.
There is still some people in the right place, in the right places occasionally then, isn't there?
Yeah. And that was pretty cool. And they called me and asked if I could come out. We stood in the parking lot and they said, would you speak to some folks coming? And I, of course, yeah. And a tour bus pulled up on that road out there, and tour buses don't frequent these roads.
Right.
And I don't know how many people got off, but it was a lot.
And all of them.
I thought we were speaking to, you know, three or four people.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I was leading a tour through an archery park that was incomplete. But hopefully those folks are... they'll watch this or hear this, and you have no idea, like, how motivating that was.
Oh, I'm sure. Yep, I'm sure. And this is a project, like we said, not finished. It's just moved on to another phase now. But it has taken up, I'm sure, a lot of your life over the past 2 years.
Yes.
Hopefully not taking years off of your life at the end, but it has taken up a lot of your time, right? What are some things that now that you guys have moving forward? I know we've talked about a lot. The stream access thing, I think the last time you were on, that was kind of a focus of our conversation. What are some other things that may be on the horizon or that you guys got going on, something you're looking forward to, anything like that?
Yeah, I think, this thing's in a good spot. It can run through the summer, and it'll just kind of be here. And we'll do some projects out here, here and there. We really want to get, for the summer, it's hard to, like, push people into something that's hunting related.
Yeah, sure.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just not right in Illinois to do certain events. But I really want to do some like floats.
Yeah.
And that'll kind of roll with the stream access, issue and just get people involved, in their public waters. So we'll be doing some river cleanups and, paddle days, things like that.
Yeah.
Just something totally different. It's not hunting related, and it's just something that anybody could step out and do.
Yeah. So. Well, I know you're a busy guy today, so we'll let you get off here. But before you do, if somebody wants to be involved in all that, the stuff that you're talking about or even this park, what are ways that they can either get in contact with somebody or how they can get involved with BHA?
If you have any interest in BHA, the archery park, if you've got a project that you're like, you know, this is what I need in my area, I just need help, send an email to illinois@backcountryhunters.org. You can get on backcountryhunters.org and look up the Illinois chapter there. Those two ways right there are the easiest way to like notify somebody in our chapter that there's somebody interested. And we will get back to you. We'll find a way to meet you, get with you, talk to you, and see what we can do. At the very least, I would stress that everybody find a way to get involved in their public lands. And probably the best way to do that is become a member of BHA, which you can do on the website.
It's really easy.
It is easy.
Yes, sir.
You get that done on the website, and you... based off where you live and your address is in Illinois, you will start receiving emails and get notifications and be more involved.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on
for the fourth time.
One last thing. When can I shoot this park? When can I not shoot this park? Where are we at with that?
So that's one thing that's been very confusing for people. Because everybody's like, well, I can't come. Sorry, I couldn't make it.
Right.
Great news. It's going to be open tomorrow. It'll be open every day. There's nothing you have to do. You just pull in the parking lot. As long as it's daylight out,
okay,
feel free to shoot.
Awesome.
Perfect. And then do you have like a honeypot where you can throw a donation if I shoot your targets? What does that look like?
We've got a little vault out here. So if you do come out and shoot, you know, remember that these targets weren't free.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They cost money, and we're going to have to replace them, so throw a couple bucks in the vault.
Perfect.
You can always stop in at Army Corps of Engineers headquarters down at the Lake Shelbyville Dam and just tell them you're going to want to make a donation, and they'll help out facilitating that.
Awesome.
But this is Possum Creek?
Possum Creek Recreation Area.
All right. Yep. Excellent. Cool. Yeah, because I know there were guys when we were doing a lot of shooting that worked weekends, so their days off were during the week, and they were hard. Well, really like to shoot the courses, but hard-pressed to do it on a Saturday or a Sunday, for instance. So that's good.
No, we'll definitely have some more out here. There'll be more shoots in the future. And this, probably the date of this grand opening, like sometime in May, I think that'll kind of always be like the big the big shoot.
Do kind of an annual thing.
So we'll be for sure to get a couple more appearances on the podcast.
Absolutely.
There you go.
We'll do
there
it. You go. All right, thanks, man. We'll let you get out of here and go do all some more talking with people.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, so that was Drew. We got Bill on here now from the Central A&M archery team. And you guys are a fairly new archery squad, correct?
Yep, we got started just this past October, our first year. So
okay, so have you guys done some shoots and stuff then?
Yep.
Since October?
We did all the indoor regionals. Our team actually ended up placing third in the state.
Very cool.
The state shoot. We've done a couple 3D shoots, but we got some kids in track, so we can't really go there. We got a 3D shoot coming up next Saturday, or two Saturdays, the 31st. And then I had a kid do the outdoor target. He ended up placing third.
Yep.
So we're doing good.
Awesome. Awesome. So you guys are seeing some pretty good interest in it then so far?
Yep. Our first year in it, we had, so far I've got 12 kids in it, so which baffled me. I figured we'd only have three or four interested in it.
Right.
But it had a lot of support from community organizations, and so far with all my son's friends, there's talks that I should get about maybe six more kids that I know of next year. So
nice. Sweet. Nice. So what would be your ideal number, you think, at this point? Or is there such a thing for you?
The more the merrier,
okay.
I guess.
All right.
I mean, I'll take as many kids as we want to get them involved in the outdoors and shooting sports.
Sure.
You know.
So how did you get roped into heading the whole thing up? Are you, I guess you're the head coach?
Yeah, I am the head coach. I've got two other coaches that help me. Mm-hmm. But my son started out with a team 2 years ago through a friend of his that was shooting. And then after a year involved in that team shut its doors down and didn't open back up. So we had to set out a year because I was still fairly new with S3DA and didn't know what all it took to do it. And then there was a couple teams within hours drive, but I'm like, I can't do that on a school night. So I went to our local school board with an idea of having an archery team, and I attended three meetings with them, and they loved it.
Nice.
I
mean,
awesome. Nice. So this is something that we talked about with Drew, but having a course like this right here kind of in your backyard, like how big is that for you guys when it comes to getting ready for 3D shoots and 3D shooting and all that?
Oh, my God, this is such a huge help. That's what I told all the kids. I said, when this gets open, I was like, this is where we're going to be having practices when the weather permits. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity. And I've already talked with Josh White, the state coordinator that took over for Steve Groom, and the future outlook for this place is just huge. I mean, we're hoping to eventually hold a state shoot here.
Yeah.
I know that's down the road because you got to do a lot of preparation for that. But in the future, I think that we'll end up having a state shoot here.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's a great course and it'd be a good spot for it. And that's something we also talked about with Drew. All the possibilities that are here and having a team close is going to make that even more available, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I've recently been promoted to the Central Illinois Regional Coordinator for S3DA. So my goal is to even reach out to more schools to try to get more teams going. And now that this is in our backyard, this should help us tremendously.
It seems like there's not a lot of school participation in Central Illinois for whatever reason. And rhyme or reason that you can think of, or has just not been exposure?
Part of the reason is that I just don't think many people don't know about S3DA. I mean, they don't know about the shooting sports. Mm-hmm. It's always just the basic football and basketball and baseball.
Sure,
and I mean, that's what IHSA organizes, so that's what they know. And this is something new to them, and like I said, it's different. And
right.
A lot of people are just like, I've never heard of this before. What is it? And then it's like,
You
know, here's what it is. And
we've talked to Steve when he was still running everything different times about the disparity between southern part of Illinois and then like central to northern Illinois and the difference in the amount of teams and stuff.
Yeah.
But it is a great opportunity for kids because especially ones that aren't necessarily
6'10".
Right. They're not like 6'10". The huge athletic kid that's going to get a football or basketball scholarship.
Absolutely.
Right, or a baseball scholarship, but there's actually a lot of opportunities to get scholarships through archery.
That's I feel that in this area you'll have a better luck getting a full ride scholarship through archery or even trap shooting than you would football, basketball, or baseball.
Oh, some of the numbers Steve was giving us was just astonishing, the amount of money, the scholarships available for archery, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. You know. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is something, too, that I think with the course being here and with you guys having a team being local, it's probably something that I think you will continue to see grow, right? Especially with the youth, you can get him out. We get them out here and get them involved. We've seen, I don't know, a handful of kids today that are probably 10 and under.
Yeah.
It's super cool to see that. And then they're going to grow up in that and understanding that, hey, there's a chance to get scholarship money and to go help pay for a higher education, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that this could definitely help you guys with that as well. Is that something that I know, obviously, you guys are a new team, but we're talking baseball and basketball. A lot of times you'll have programs with the youth or you'll do camps with the youth to try to get participation from them, right, and try to kind of build up a program. Is that something that you've thought about doing or looked at doing, maybe doing some stuff for the younger kids to try to get them introduced to archery?
Yeah, I want to try to reach out to our school board and try to get the NAPS program, the National Archery and School Program, going in the younger grades. So that way, controlled environment, it's during PE, so it'll be every day to get them to build the fundamentals. And then by the time they hit sixth grade, where our team starts, they can cross over to S3DA and then continue on.
Right, right.
You know, not this year, I want to have, you know, hey, come join us or come try archery at our facility at Powder Keg over in Taylorville. Mm-hmm. It's where we shoot at. You know, come over here and try this and see if this is something you want to do.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I told parents when I first had the welcome meeting. I'm like, the good thing about archery is it can be a cheap sport and it can be a very expensive sport.
Yes,
you correct.
Know,
yes.
You know, I showed them, I'm like, you know, here's a bow that's completely set up from Shields for $350. I'm like, and then here's the new Hoyt RX-8 or RX-9 that was $1,200 spare bow.
Yeah, right.
I'm like,
not even set up.
It's whatever your pocketbook wants to finance.
Yep.
So
it is a sport that there's a little barrier to entry, but it's not as much as some of the others.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And most of that is just getting the bare necessity equipment, and then you can get started and even decide if you like it or not.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You can get super efficient and effective on a $350 bow.
Yeah, that's what I told parents. I said, especially if your kid's not a bow hunter right now, don't go out and buy the expensive equipment. Start with the less expensive stuff. Make sure they want to like it. And they're going to stick with it. And then as the years progress, step up to the higher end equipment.
So are you guys, you said sixth grade was when they can start. Are you 6th through 12th grade then?
Yep, 6th through 12th. I don't have this first year I didn't have any high schoolers interested. But several of my kids are 8th graders, so they jump up to freshman next year. So I'll have high schoolers. So then I'm hoping that'll be promoted. I'll have them stick flyers up at the school when they're there. And
yeah, I think interest will spark interest.
I think so.
Yeah.
And now that this is the first year, and, you know, I created the Facebook page, and I shared every time we went to a practice, you know, I took pictures, and every event we went to, I took pictures and said whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I think every regional that we went to, one of my kids came home with a medal.
Cool.
So,
yeah. Right.
It's awesome.
In some category.
So you're competitive, which is what you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it can be a lot of fun, but it's nice to compete as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that probably helps, too, like you're saying, if you can put that stuff on Facebook. Hey, say – you can say, hey, not only are we doing this and having a good time, but we're also, like, there's a chance to go out there and be good at it.
Yeah.
Right? And that also helps people get more interest because if you're good at something, you're going to be more interested.
Yeah. And then our state event, I tried to invite as many people as I could, just saying, hey, you know, I know this is all new. Come out here and see what this is all about. You know, my father-in-law showed up, and he was baffled by it. He's like, I didn't expect this to be like this. He's like, this is a very well-put-together organization competition.
Mm-hmm.
So –
yeah, it's a cool thing. We kind of got our eyes open to the S3DA and all that here a few years ago with everything that was going on. And just to see what it does for the youth and gives people the opportunities it does, gives them something to do that's extracurricular, that's not bad for them. I mean, there's a lot of worse things they could be
absolutely.
Doing, right?
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see. And I'm also glad to hear that, like, schools like you guys are picking up new programs and stuff.
That was one of the things that at the school board meetings I attended, they were worried about how they were going to finance this.
Sure.
And I told them, I'm like, this – I don't need any finances from you unless you want to finance. You know, that'd be
right.
great. But I just want permission to use the name and logo.
Yeah.
And I said, we can fund it through sponsorships and donations.
Yeah.
Without you. And they were just, this sounds like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Especially, and I told them, I said, it's for boys and girls.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, well, then they didn't have to find another sport to add for,
right.
you know, the females. And
right.
they're like, oh, well, this is great. So
it makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, the school board was very supportive of it, and I'm
good.
Extremely good. Grateful for them.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I don't want to take up too much more of your time today either, so I appreciate you coming on, talking a little bit about it, and good luck with everything. And then why don't you, in case we got anybody watching this non-involved from up here, let them know how they can get a hold of you, and if they want to be involved with either S3DA or your program, how can they do that?
You obviously go to 3DA.net. And you can search for your state, wherever you're at, and it'll give you your state coordinator, and then he can give you the regional coordinator's information. My email address is s3dailcoordinator@gmail.com. Phone number is 217-454-8006. If anybody's interested in creating a team, trying to find a team, can't find a team, reach out, and I'll do what I can to help.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Bill.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you down the road,
I'm
sure.
I'm sure we will. Thank you so much.
So we got Jake here with us now from TA20. You can talk about that a little bit. He's running the bow shop over here today.
Yeah, my mobile bow shop.
That's right. You have you had to fix anything yet today?
Yep, two. One kid come up and he said, it's all messed up, man. Just look at it. And one of the BHA guys sent him up there because his arrow was fishtailing crazy. And,
mm-hmm.
It took me like 2 minutes. I was like, here you go.
Yeah.
And he went over and shot. He's like, oh, that's better.
Yeah, much better. So, it's a lot better when they fly straight, right?
Yeah, that's the goal is you want them straight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So you said you do a little bit of bow mechanicking as kind of a side hustle. And then you've also got TA20. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So therapy at 20 yards is what TA20 stands for. Let's see. I started it in 2017, 18, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is like, I've shot archery my whole life. I've shot competitively off and on for like 25 years. You know, I've hunted for as long as I can remember. My dad is only a gun hunter, and then my stepdad archery hunted. And I used to watch when I was young, him and his friends all get together, like this group of guys out there, and everybody shooting their bows. And I was like, what is this?
Right.
So then of course I got hooked on it. And me being me, when I go, I just go all the way in. So here we go,
right,
you know.
Right.
And then, you know, the old adage is where do you start off sighting in? 20 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
The old adage is you hit a pie plate at 20, you're good enough to go hunting.
Used
right.
to be, right?
Right. That's what everybody – well, that's what it was when I was a kid, right?
Yep.
So – and then, of course, the competition world and everything kept going. And there is a therapy to it. I mean, for me personally, when you're shooting a bow or when I'm shooting a bow, the only thing I think about is where I want that arrow to go and that pin. And then you walk 20 yards down and you analyze good, bad, change this, whatever, right, 20 yards back. So there's that therapeutic side to it. Well, I spent about 9 years in the Marine Corps, and one of my best friends was also in. When he came back from Afghanistan years ago, he was in a pretty dark spot, like really dark. And I didn't know the severity of it, but he knew that I bow hunted, and he said, I want to get into that. And this is when I was working full-time up at the archery shop. So he came in, set him up, spent his money, did his whole thing, and like 3 weeks later, he sends me a picture of blood on his hand. And I'm like, that idiot cut his finger. That's what, the first thing I thought, because he was just a really sharp fixed blade.
Uh-huh.
And he sends me a picture of a dead deer. I'm like, oh, cool, he got one, right? Sweet.
Well, that wasn't his blood.
Right, yeah. And he, you know, we talked about it. We explained told me the whole story, you know, we're having some beers, and he goes, dude, you saved my life. I was like, what? You know, pretty deep. And he goes, I was pretty bad. He said, but this, the outside, the bow, the therapy, he's like, it's brought me up out of it. I'm like, wow, there's something to that.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I have my own therapy at it. And then the 20 yards at it, I was like, boom, therapy at 20 yards.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So that's that's where the name came from. So
what's that look like for you now? Like, what are you doing with that as far as kind of what do you do, I guess?
So right now, I guess it's just, I would call it a brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a company. Not there yet. But biggest thing is, man, is just trying to get my name out there for the bow technician stuff, the mechanic stuff, because I like working on them. I like shooting them, which then in turn lets me network with everybody, right?
Right.
I mean, we met, I don't know how many people here, and I love teaching people how to do the archery stuff too. I've taught it. I've coached. I still coach a little bit. You know, you meet this guy who knows that guy who used to hunt over there in Idaho 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
So yeah. it is a small world.
It all comes together. Yeah. And it's, you know, the whole archery thing and hunting thing is, you know, it's based upon the camaraderie, the guys going out, not just guys anymore, but we're all going out shooting deer, drinking beers, whatever, you know, so that's part of it. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, just, hey, trying to make a name for myself just like everybody else.
Absolutely. There is a – we've talked about this with especially the S3DA guys, talking about kids getting into archery, especially, right, with all the opportunities that there are for them. But there is also that side of it where it's just a escape, an escape from 100%. Everything else. Because we were talking to Bill earlier from Central A&M. He was talking about how when you're shooting, there's so much that goes into it, and you kind of have to focus on what you're doing. And then when you're drawn back, like you said, you're only focused on – where that arrow is going to go for like a couple minutes at a time. That's all you're worried about.
Yep.
And sometimes that's all it takes to just kind of decompress.
100%,
and
yes.
Get away from everything a little bit, right?
Yeah, man, exactly. You're not worried about the bills, the kids, the whatever. It's just tunnel vision on just that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a release, like you said. Yep.
Nice. Very nice.
That's one of the things that I do like about this kind of project, to see open it up to the public, because there's no telling how many people it could eventually – impact as far as maybe they didn't even realize they would enjoy archery, or maybe they never had an opportunity to go shoot somewhere, don't have a space to do it. But now they can come to a place like this and they can find that love for it, or you know, even that therapeutical side of it.
Yep. Yeah. It's, I mean, and so there's, I mean, okay, I don't know numbers or anything, but I'm sure we can all agree that the hunter numbers in general are declining severely. And that very severely negatively affects public lands, tag sales, the revenue, right? So, you know, for guys like us that are my age, like, I'm starting to see it go down, which less deer hunters sometimes is better, so I can shoot bigger dogs, right? Let's be honest. However, in order to deer hunt, we need that number up. So, yeah, we got to get kids involved in it, absolutely. I'm so glad the S3D guys are doing that. I helped coach them a little bit with Bill. But, yeah, stuff like this is awesome. You know, like my dad, he kind of has really almost stopped hunting because he's like, I can't find a place to go.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of public land up in Michigan where he lives, where he lives anyways. And he's just, I don't know, he's older and he doesn't want to go out and hit it hard.
You know,
walk 3/4 of a mile and over 3 ridges. And,
yeah.
You know,
to get away from everybody. And,
I get it. So stuff like this is just incredible. And yeah, I mean, I know people that are like, well, I can't shoot my yard. They live in town or whatever. So having things like this is absolutely amazing. It's awesome.
We were also talking with Drew earlier about kind of the lack of archery shops in this area or kind of around, right? And you're obviously kind of in that game. I could definitely see this kind of providing some business for a guy like you too. Like if there's people out shooting, if they're in this area, hey, I brought my, but maybe they came from an hour away to shoot the course. Hey, something's up.
Yeah.
You know, where's the closest bow tech? And if there's not one around, like, you know,
so that's part of the, I guess, the plan, you know, the thought process is, so when I moved down here to Michigan in 2000, or I'm sorry, moved down here from Michigan to Illinois in, what, 16, up in central Illinois, well, we're still central, but up Decatur area, there was a couple shops around. And then COVID happened and whatnot, and now there's only one. And obviously having the background, I thought there's an opening for a market there. And the way that I do it is I'm pretty meticulous about how I do it. I come from a shop that has multiple world champion shooters out of it. So it's pretty well renowned up in Michigan. But yeah, there's obviously an opening. I mean, almost everybody I talked to is like, hey, there's no shops around anymore. They're all gone.
And right,
I'm like,
yep.
Well, I'm your guy. That's why I'm doing this. I'm here to try to fill that void. I love doing it. I've got the material, I've got the equipment, I've got the knowledge, so I'm like, let's do this.
Yeah.
So
loving doing it, it's a big thing too, because you can I was telling somebody earlier, we all know kind of those, if you have one in your area, maybe it's a guy that's been doing it for a long time and he just kind of still does it because it's what he's always done.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't do good work, or he doesn't do timely work, right? And that's not who you want to take your stuff to, especially when you're talking about something like shooting a bow, especially shooting a bow at an animal.
Shooting an animal.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's, you want to have your stuff right. You want somebody who knows what they're doing and enjoys doing it to be working on it.
Has the passion for it, yes.
Yeah, because they're going to do a better job.
Yeah, 100%. It's like the way that I look at things is, you know, we're all deer hunters. You have, this is how I explain it in just an arbitrary number. There are a million variables, right? To deer hunting, the wind, the terrain, the time of season you're in, you know, the equipment you're using. And you can be drawn back on 180 inch and a mosquito the size of Texas flies in your nose. Right? You can't control exactly all those variables. One variable you can control is your equipment.
Yep.
So that's where I dive into as deep as I can. And I'm like, you can ask all my friends up there, like, when I pick up that bow, I know there's nothing wrong with it, mm-hmm. and it is going to perform the way I want it to do. So it takes that variable out.
Yep.
So the equipment I'm using, the tool that I'm using to take that animal's life, it's good. I don't have to think about
exactly.
it. Exactly. And I also believe that that animal deserves that amount of respect because we're going to kill him. That's yep. the whole goal, right? Yep. Is to kill the animals.
Yeah, 100%.
So yep. I deserve, yep. it deserves that much respect yep. for me to do it as good and as clean as fast as I can.
Yeah. You have to control what you can control. Like you're yes. saying, there's so many things that you can't. You might as well take care of what you can. Yep. And also, like you said, when you pick that thing up and you know it's going to shoot where you put that pin, it's confidence, right?
Bingo.
And yeah. you have to have, we talk to a lot of different people about, you know, arrow setups and broadheads and sights and rest and all kinds of different stuff. Bottom line is, it could be the best thing in the world. If you're not confident in it,
yeah, don't.
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
Right? Mm-hmm. It could be, you could be shooting an old Muzzy 3-blade with aluminum arrows and a whisker biscuit. If you're confident you know where that arrow's going at 30 yards, it's fine.
yeah.
you know, exactly.
exactly.
So knowing that you have done everything you can to get your bow set up or you've taken it to somebody
yeah.
that knows what they're doing is a ton of confidence, and that's over half the battle, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when it comes to shooting, let alone hunting, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think there's a void there. A lot of guys now ordering stuff off the internet. They're getting it in off a package or putting it together, maybe not have the experience or
watch it on
or
YouTube.
The know-how, watching yeah. it on YouTube, and then something's not right. They don't know how to fix what's not right. They need someone like you in their area that tech can go to and say, hey, this is what I did. I need some help.
Yep.
You know? And I think there's a there. Void yeah. there for that extra help that you can't get watching on YouTube
yep.
or getting pulling it out of a box.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And I know shops that don't even have bow hunters. They have guys that shoot bows mm-hmm. but right. don't hunt. And they're trying to sell broadheads and arrow setups, and you need to do this for hunting. And it's like, you don't even do it. How do you,
right,
how
right.
do you, like you watched YouTube. That's how you did this,
yep.
right? That's your knowledge base.
Yep.
You know, so it's like having the personal experience, you know, it just goes a long ways. A guy can bring up both, hey, man, this broadhead's not, it's not flying right. Or we're like, okay, what are you doing? Or, hey, I'm not getting penetration. Well, it's because you're shooting a 350 grain arrow with a 3-inch cut. Like, right. it's not going to go in enough, right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, there's the experience thing is, well, I mean, that's in every industry
it
out
is.
There is experience is not as key. So.
Yep. Yeah. And archery's no different for sure.
No.
For sure.
No different.
Well, man, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. We're fixing to hit the road. We got a couple-hour drive. I don't know how far you are from here. Not
about 35 minutes north
right
of
here. Right in the backyard,
here.
Right?
Yeah, pretty
not
much.
Bad for you.
Yeah.
It's honestly not bad. We've said this a couple times on the show. It's not bad for us either. And this, Lake Shelbyville, is like 2.5 hours from almost everywhere in Illinois. So
yeah.
it's pretty good and centrally located.
Right, right. That's not terrible. You could do that. You could, man, you could have a good weekend hunt for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or a couple days stretch, you know, in November sure. or something.
That'd absolutely.
Be, yeah.
Yep. So before we get you off here, though, let people know where they can find you or if they're in the area and they're wanting their stuff worked on, where can they do that and all that kind of stuff. Go ahead and
yeah, put a plug up there. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, obviously. The Instagram is TA20YDS, therapy at 20 yards. Facebook is the same. Just get on there, shoot me a message. And the way that I do it as far as the archery mechanic stuff is just get a hold of me. We'll probably exchange phone numbers and – well, just I have a rotating schedule, so I'm on a couple of days, off a couple of days, and it just mm-hmm. keeps flexing. So we'll just figure it out, have you come over to the house, go to the shop, do what we got to do man stuff in the garage.
That's right.
And go shoot some bows
there you
after
go.
That.
There you go.
So that's how I'm pretty flexible. There's not, like, you know, official yet, but I just have people over. We work on it,
mm-hmm.
do what we got to do, and get it fixed and go from there.
Awesome. So. Well, thanks for the time, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was nice good to meet you guys.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. We'll see you around.
Yeah, I'm
we'll
sure. Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. Yep. Thanks, man. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. A lot of good conversation today. Yeah, it's been a good day out here at the Lake Shelbyville Archery Park. We got to see the whole park. We got to talk to a lot of different people, not just on the podcast, but outside of here too. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the conversation as well. Make sure you like and subscribe and all that kind of stuff and comment. That really helps us out with the episodes doing well, and it doesn't cost you guys anything, like 2 seconds to leave a comment. If you want more information on anybody that was on today, I will link it in the description. I know they also kind of all plugged their stuff, so hopefully you guys got that. You're following all of them. All great dudes. We just met Bill and Jake today. They seem like awesome guys, too.
Pretty cool cats, yep.
And I'm sure they'll be good. If you need anything on the archery side as far as teams go or looking to get information on S3DA, I think Bill can probably hook you up with that if you're in the Lake Shelbyville area and you're wanting to get a bow worked on. Sounds like Jake knows his stuff with that. And then BHA is an awesome organization. I can't say enough about them. Can't say thanks enough to them for having us to these events and the relationship that we've been able to build with them and Drew over the past few couple years. I'd recommend anybody to get plugged in with them if you're looking for a way, like he said, to kind of improve your public ground. We talk about private land stuff all the time and all the things you can do to improve that, and hinge cutting and food plots and all the different stuff that comes along with that. A lot of times it's hard to figure out what you can do to help on public land. Well, getting plugged in with your local chapter or BHA is going to be one way that you could definitely do that. They hold events all the time, whether it's park cleanups or floats like he was talking about maybe doing, or their Muddy Waters tour where you can just get out and kind of see what's out there. You can help clean stuff up. You can donate money to the right places so that things can get done. I know they've done different plantings with, like, wildflowers and stuff like that, pollinator blends on public ground, all kinds of stuff that they're doing.
The great thing about that is you can do as much or as little as you want to, and nobody's hounding you or knocking on your door or begging you for money. Is your participation is at your level, whatever that feels good for you.
Yep. So everybody we talked to today, make sure you go give them a follow, give them a like if you're interested in it. We will catch you guys on next week's episode. Hopefully, see, this one will come out a little over a week from when we're recording it. Hopefully, we'll have another full draw Friday up with Austin. He's been running like mad, trying to beat the rain, getting his food plots done. And we're trying to get schedules figured out to get another one and finish out the series that we were working on with Access. So hopefully that one comes up between now and then. But if not, we'll see you guys on next Monday's episode. Thanks for watching.